third psalm this morning, if you turn there. One of my favorites in the Bible. I hope you're not getting tired of me preaching out of this psalm. I've been here 32 years. I think this is the fourth time I'm using this psalm, so that's about every 8 years. So if you're getting tired of hearing it, I'm sorry, but it's one of my favorite ones. Might be the last time I get a chance to preach it, though. So focus in. Psalm 3. When I was a boy, I was really afraid of the dark. It could be the middle of the night. I could be sound asleep. If the electric went out, that light went out, I woke up screaming. It would drive my older brother nuts. We were sharing the same room. And we would often have a tussle over my nightlight. But there was one particular night that it really got intense. And he marched across the room and he turned that light off and went back to his bed. And I turned the light on and he marched back across the room, punched me a couple of times, turned the light out and went back to his bed. I waited until he was settled in again. And I got up and I turned the light back on. He began to yell and call me every name in the book. You coward, you wimp, you know. And on it went. And I started crying and I said, you think I want to be afraid of that? I pray every night that God will help me to overcome this and I won't be afraid of that. I don't want to be afraid of the dark. And he said, you can pray all you want to, but until you get up and turn that light out, you're not trusting in God at all. I sat there and I laid there and I thought about it all. And oh man, I wished he'd have rather punched me. What his punches and name calling couldn't do, the truth accomplished. I got up, turned the light out, and I've been sleeping in the dark ever since. Today's all about applying the truth to your fears until you're transformed. Taking what God has said and using it in your life. God will always be faithful to his word, but until we act on it, it won't do us any good. Psalm 3, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Father, we come to you this morning and we bring our fears, our anxieties, our worries, our sadness, all of it with us. I know it's Thanksgiving, and we would rather be people filled with praise. In fact, that's what we're asking for today, a transformation service where we kind of come dragging in and we go dancing out, where we become free in your presence. Lord, I'm thankful that John was hard on me that many years ago and helped me see a truth that served me well all my life. Help us to see that truth and live by it. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The predicament that David finds himself in the middle of this psalm is perhaps the worst of his life. I say that understanding that there was a day when he was standing in front of a giant who had this spear much bigger than David. And all David had was a sling and a stone. I say this one might be worse than being chased by Saul with an army five times larger than his own. The occasion of this psalm is recorded in the introduction. If you look above the paragraph or above the psalm, you'll read a psalm of David when he fled from his son Absalom. Absalom was a handsome young man, a handsome prince in Israel. Of course, David's own son. And David loved him like he loved all of his kids. But Absalom had something else going on inside of him. He wasn't pleased to be the prince. He wasn't pleased to even be in line for the throne someday. He wanted to be king now. And so little by little, he began a plot. He began to devise a way, a shortcut to the throne. Whenever anybody would come with a problem to the palace, he would cut them off and he would reach out and he'd hug them and he'd treat them so well. He was a handsome gentleman and he would butter them up and say nice things and, oh, you're not going to get justice here. But if I was king, oh, I would hear your cause and I'd do something about it. And so with all this politicking going on, he began to win the hearts of the people of Israel. And by the time he was done, he tried to cash in on it. He got some of the leaders of Israel in on it as well. Heads of the army, heads of the inner core. And they banded with him and they said, yeah, it's time. We need a new king around here. You're going to do a fine job. Now, of course, that would necessitate the death of his father. So it's not enough that he's got political ambitions going on. He's thinking about the execution of his own dad. So Absalom was marching against Jerusalem with a huge army in order to kill David and take the throne. Not only Absalom, but many of David's closest friends and other relatives are marching along with Absalom toward the capital. Now, the average Israelite loved David before Absalom started on his campaign, before he started his subversiveness. David had been oblivious to it all. He was a happy king. I wonder if the night before he wasn't thinking, oh, I heard that song before. Getting kind of boring around here. Nothing exciting ever happens in the kingdom anymore. But then somebody ran in and said, you better book out of here because an army's headed this way to take you down. Oh, and by the way, it's your army. Yoy, what do you do? You can't even call your own troops to defend you. You ever have your mind just start to swim? You get a little bit dizzy? You just don't know what to do next? It's, what did you just say? It's overwhelming. What do you do first? 12 things come to mind and you kind of freeze and you're, how do we respond to this? What are we supposed to do? Is it better to defend the city? And he came to the decision, no, we better evacuate. There are so many troops coming against us, they can lay siege to us forever. They live here. We won't stand a chance if we stay in it. We've got to, well, how do you evacuate? Did we have a drill for this? No, we always thought that Jerusalem was impenetrable. It was our strongest defense. That's a brand new idea. Evacuate. You never see this anywhere else in Scripture where they willfully left the city, left the fortress behind. And he's trying to figure it out. What do I do next? They pack up as many supplies as they possibly can and they head out the gate, they down through the Kidron Valley out toward the Jordan River. Then word comes to them, cross the Jordan by nightfall or all is lost. You got to get across the river. The Jordan River is a pretty swift flowing river. It flows from the mountains in the north around Galilee down to the Dead Sea, which is well below sea level. And the water picks up speed the whole way through. And now you've got not just soldiers and young guys, you've got older folk, you've got women and children that need to get across this flowing river. And it's not early in the day at all. Once they finally make it to the other side, they need to get into the wilderness deep enough that they find something that is defensible. They want to be prepared for any surprise attack. And by the end of this day, can you imagine? Can you imagine how exhausted David might be? He's not a young man anymore. They had to evacuate the city. I put in my app, how far is it from Jerusalem to the Jordan River? And it said about 21 miles. So 21 miles to, as the crow flies, then you got to cross, then you got to get into the wilderness, another couple. Have you ever hiked 20 miles? You ever do that? I remember as a Boy Scout, we put all the stuff on our back and we went, wow, man. It was like going to China. I'd talk about a long hike. Now imagine doing it with your family. You think it's tough traveling in a car? Try carrying them half the way and answering all those questions. Are we there yet? And all of that stuff going on. Crossing the river, that would have been a day's work right there. And then setting up a defensible camp. We can't go to sleep yet. We got to make sure if they hit us tonight, how are we going to respond to this threat? Somewhere in the middle of that night, David lives this psalm. It's his experience. He may not have penned it until later, but he lives through this experience, this psalm, that night. As his mind switches from hyperactive, get everybody to safety mode, to a moment where he can evaluate exactly what's going on, well, the enormity of what he's in the middle of hits him like a ton of bricks. What? What? How did I end up here? What just happened? And he says, oh Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. A literal army was out to kill him. He was the target. If they could kill David, everybody else would go safely home. It's an army that he trained. Here they come. Clearly, Absalom hadn't acted alone. So now David's wondering, who can I trust? If your own son will kill you. And let me tell you, he was rather close to Absalom. You can read some of the accounts of Absalom ran away for a while, and then David had him brought back, and then finally back into his prayer. He wept over and he embraced this young man. It's not like they had trouble before. It's not like there was a thing going on. David loved and trusted his son. I don't know if you've ever been betrayed before, but when you are betrayed by somebody very close to you, again, it causes your head to spin. You look at people who have always been loyal and you think, I don't know. I thought I could trust them, and if I can't trust them, who? And so he's in camp at night, but wouldn't the thought strike your mind? Any one of these people could take me out tonight and Absalom would reward them handsomely. This is their chance to win the lottery. They could get everything they ever wanted. Is there anybody among us who came along as a spy to that young man? How well would you sleep under those conditions? Was God himself done with David? Lord, is this payback? Is this how it's all going to end? And surely there were these troubling thoughts as depression starts to fill David's weary soul. You ever get tired? You ever get exhausted? You ever have that kind of day and your own mind starts to chew away at you? He had these thoughts like, well, if I just give up, all these people get to go back home. I'm standing in the way. I love these people. They're good. And it's me that stands in the way of them living a good life. They're out in the desert because of me. And then you can hear that echo, you deserve this. Yeah. Think about what you've done. Yeah, remember that affair with Bathsheba? How about your buddy Uriah, the Hittite? What did you do to him? Yeah, you deserve this well enough. But then something different begins to stir in David's soul. He's been in dark places before. He knows what the enemy sounds like. He knows about all those depressing thoughts. He knows that the enemy's the one trying to drag him down. This is not the voice of God. And so we go on to verse 3 through 6. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me. Usually that's hyperbole. I got lots of people who hate my God. He literally had tens of thousands of people with swords and spears in their hand saying, let's go get them. Oh, you think you had a bad day at the office? They're all lined up and they are coming. I love that David doesn't appeal on his own innocence. Oh God, I've tried to be a good king. I've sacrificed for these people. He doesn't try to put the blame on others. I was good to them. That son who's rising up against me, I remember burping him when he was a baby. I remember walking the floor with his child. I remember all the things that we gave him. And now he turns like that. You got to get him, God. No, he doesn't do any of that. David appeals to the Lord his God, starting with his great word, but. There's a lot of people coming against me. But you are a shield around me. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. God, this is what you're like. I remember you. It's true, there's an army led by his son coming to kill him, but the Lord is his shield. What are you trusting in? Your charm and good looks? The relationships that you've built? The skill that you've acquired through the years? The Lord is a shield for me. Absalom's going to be trusting in the overwhelming forces on his side. He's going to trust in the number of soldiers he's got. David is going to lean more heavily into the Lord. Oh, God. God, I can't do this. We can't do this. You can do this. You always have. And I trust you tonight. David would lean into the God that was with him when a bear or a lion attacked the sheep. The God that was with him when he faced the giant. The God that was with him through countless battles. You see, David had been betrayed before. He had been outnumbered before. God had never failed him. I suppose the folk we should feel the most sorry for are those with no experience in these matters. When it's their first go-around with betrayal, when it's their first go-around with being outnumbered, when it's their first go-around when the economy goes south, their first layoff. They're yet to learn how faithful our great God is. As David remembers the Lord, he felt strength return to his soul, his head's beginning to lift up. Oh, he had been down, he had been, but now he begins to rise. And what I love about this psalm is, God doesn't say anything to him in this psalm. He doesn't say, I was so sad, but then the Lord said to me, where's your backbone, boy? No. All he does is remember what God had done for him before. You know, sometimes we're looking for a word from the Lord, and we don't need a fresh word from the Lord. The history of God with us should be speaking volumes. As he thinks back on what God did before, that's the God I serve. He preached a great sermon to himself. He didn't need it coming from anybody else. Didn't even need it coming from the Lord. I could just imagine the Lord sitting up there and just waiting while David's processing it all. He's crying and he's scared. He's in the fetal position. And what are we going to do? Come on. Oh, that's, you're my God. And the Lord doesn't even have to give him one of those, thus saith the Lord, thunders. No sign coming out of the wilderness, a goat with four horns or something, you know. Nothing like that. Just based on the history. When I think about that, I get a little ashamed of my own processing at times. Do we really need one more sign before we believe that our God is on our side? Hasn't he done more than enough? Amen. He is faithful to his own. I need to start walking in that. I need to start living like that. I need to stop looking like, oh, I don't have a God that'll help me.
When's the last time God ever did anything for me? Boy, I got enemies, so let me tell you about my enemies.
No. Let me tell you about my God. When I was challenged, when I was going under, he reached down, he pulled me right up out. And he doesn't just save, he blesses. And then he keeps blessing and he keeps adding. And before long, you're saying, hey, how did I get here? We serve an awesome God. Moments earlier, David had been crying. Now he's shouting. Moments earlier, he was too wired, too frightened, too shaken to sleep. Now he's too excited to sleep. He wants to go into battle. Come on, God, let's go get him. The fear is gone. His strength has been renewed. Verses 7 and 8. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. The transformation is complete. David has gone from feeling like a victim to feeling like a victor. He drug himself into camp, exhausted, defeated, rejected, father and king, not good enough to be kept alive by his own people. Now he can't wait for that battle to begin. Hey, he doesn't have a plan yet. Well, we'll divide up into three camps and we'll head from the north and the south. And no plan. But he's anxious to see just how God's going to do what is impossible for he himself to do. You ever been there? You ever been in a place where you got something you cannot face and you start to get excited about what God is going to do to deliver you from that? That's where we should be. Based on the history we have with God. He has always shown up. What's the natural reaction to this? Isn't it, oh yeah, well, he's done it before, but those were all little things. Now, I'd like to see him do it this time. That stinks. You ought to wash your mouth out with soap. That's garbage talk. Everything that you've been through before is preparation for everything that you are yet to face. You need to learn your lessons. You need to take notes. You need to put your faith in God. How many would agree we forget way too much? I mean, I'm always making notes, you know. But it would be great if we kept a journal. And you would be amazed at what God has already done for you. These are not little things. Our God is an awesome God. And then he says, from the Lord comes deliverance. Period. Drop the mic. From the Lord comes deliverance. Boom. Discussion over. I serve God. God delivers. That's what God does. I'm going to sleep now. Good night. God will take care of it all. A simple yet profound statement. From the Lord comes deliverance. Could we say that together? From the Lord comes deliverance. Do you need delivered today? You need something? From the Lord comes deliverance. You get deliverance from God. Tell him what you need. And then know that it's coming. Don't wring your hands. Don't worry about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. He'll make a way for you in your life. David knew that all that defeat talk was from the liar. Where God is, there is deliverance, and God is always with his people. 24 hours earlier, he would have never dreamt that he was going to be sleeping in the desert the next night. He's in the king's bed. He's got all the entertainments. He's got all the stuff the king's had. Ah. Stuffed pillows, mypillow.com, and all the good stuff. He's got the good stuff. He's got the fancy robes. He's trying to decide what he'd like to eat from a menu that just went on endlessly. 24, he would not have dreamt. Oh, I bet tomorrow night I'm out in the wilderness somewhere. and somebody's trying to kill me. No. 24 hours earlier, he was snug and comfortable, secure in his castle. As far as he knew, all was well in his kingdom. Oh, how quickly life can change. Amen? Get one of those calls in the middle of the night. Get a message. Oh, dear, we've got a newer couple coming to the church, the Livingstons, and Brian was telling me last week. He said, well, I went to work last week, and they said, we got one more week. The place is closing down. He said, suddenly, I'm unemployed. Didn't see it coming. Just, boy, isn't life a hoot. But God never changes. Life changes very quickly, but God never changes. He is faithful to his own. Remember this psalm. I hope it becomes one of your favorites like it's one of my favorites. Whenever I get troubled and disturbed, I remember David's transformation. He went to his camp. Oh, man, he was freaking out. But then he remembered what God did, and it transformed his own inner self. It transformed his leadership. Can you imagine if he got before all of his people the next day and he's still a mess? He hadn't slept at all. He's still wringing his hands and saying, oh, I don't know, guys. Maybe we ought to just surrender. No. Boy, when they find him in the morning, they've got a lion for a leader. There are many psalms where the joy doesn't return so quickly. The song ends without a joyful conclusion. The pain persists. The trouble continues. Well, what do we do with that? Keep reading the psalms. The very fact that we have the psalms to read is proof that God is faithful. There was no Israel for a couple thousand years. You can go visit it today. I get stuff in the mail, although you trip to Israel. There isn't Israel. It's proof that God does what he says he will do. We have seasons where it hurts. We have seasons where there's trouble. But God never loses. He's on the side of his people. Israel stands. You will stand. God is faithful. God is good. Would you stand with me this morning?